Welcome to the bookstore.
It's like a book club, but we actually read the book.
I'm Becca.
And I am Corinne. And welcome to our book resolutions episode. Just a warning, I'm currently having a deadbolt installed in our front entryway. So there may be some drilling noises. I'm going to try to keep it to a minimum. But if you hear it, I'm sorry.
The perils of owning a home.
Only so many days to record and also only so many opportunities to install a deadbolt.
Yes, so. Yes. True.
Business or news we would like to talk about. I think the episode in itself is probably going to be some business.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I have any. Well, this episode, as we've said in previous episodes, is just kind of going to go over our book resolutions. What we did, what we've done, what we're going to do, what we maybe are going to do.
Yes.
Next year.
Yeah, I think last year we kind of rolled book resolutions into our year in review episode, and then we realized that, like, really, we could get two episodes out of this. So
yeah,
here we are, stretching for time. I think last year the resolutions we made were pretty simple, because we're fairly new at getting back into having like a regular reading practice. So I'm pretty sure that they were just try to read more books than we read this year. So
yeah, that sounds about right.
The most basic. I know there's a ton of different things that people work on, you know, like when they're planning their reading for the next year. And I always think that planning reading is a lot of fun, but I can't always stick to it. But, you know, there's like reading challenges and lists and stuff where you like pick out books that have specific qualities to complete a challenge. And I think that's all pretty cool. I think in a way, like what we'll end up with at the end of this episode is something sort of similar, if not specifically structured in that respect. So we'll see what we end up with here.
Yeah. So I think the one challenge that probably a lot of people who listen to book podcasts and read a lot know and are very familiar with is the Goodreads reading goal challenge.
Yeah.
I don't know what exactly it's called.
Yeah.
I set one. Did you
I
set
did.
One for this year?
I did.
And how did you do?
I completed it. I think when I said it, I basically just said it to read because I wanted, obviously, I knew if we continued with the podcast, we would read at least half as many books as there are weeks in the year because we read a book every other week for the podcast. So yeah. I set it to that plus like 8, I think. So my goal was 32.
That's pretty good. 20 more books?
Yeah. Well, yes. So I've read 50, technically a few more because I did re-listen to the Harry Potter books. I don't know if I necessarily count those because I've listened to them so many times that it's kind of just like replaying a memory. So I do count them. Yeah. And I don't, but and I should probably read at least one more by the end of the year, if not two. So I'm very happy with my results here. And how about you?
I set a goal of 50 because that's roughly 4 a month, and that's what I set like way years ago when I decided to really try to read again. That was my goal, was 4 books a month, and I read 60. That's also including books like Little Women that I've already read and reread.
Right.
And I think I also, I'm not sure, I think I might have read like a couple audiobooks of kids' books. Like I listened to A Wrinkle in Time.
Yeah.
Can't remember if that's this year or last year. But still, I mean, it counts. And it's, yeah, I'm also pretty proud of myself for reading that many. But it's interesting how I can see I go in like phases where all I want to do is read in my spare time. Mm-hmm. And mostly that's because I just don't have any TV shows that I necessarily want to watch.
Right, right.
Which sounds terrible. And it's not that I don't love the books that I'm reading. It's just there's no distraction for me reading it.
Yes.
And then there's other times, like right now, when I just finally started The Transit of Venus, which is our next book read.
Yeah, we'll be recording.
And I have about a week, a week to read it. And I'm not very far in. And I just haven't been reading lately because I just haven't felt like it. So I don't know. It's interesting to see how I don't read consistently, but apparently when I do go in my phase, I read a lot.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's helped me, because it's been, I've been really prone to distractions recently. One of the things that has helped me is ever since the most recent iPhone update, I like started using screen time on my phone. So there are times of the day where I am locked out of apps and stuff because that stuff can be like a real time suck for me. I've kind of quit Facebook, and that's been a nice break and has allowed me to get a bit more reading done. But then, that being said, I mentioned in the year in review episode too, we did buy a house. So there's like also the pressure of these projects and stuff that I want to get finished. So sometimes I'll think about taking the time to read or starting to read and then not reading as much as I want to because I feel the pressure to like get up and start working on things that I don't necessarily want to do but need to get done.
Well, and also leading up to buying the house, you guys were very busy as well.
I mean, it just, you know, moving and that sort of thing. But that's how life works. There's always some crazy challenge going in. But that being said, I'm still pretty jazzed because I don't think I've ever read this many books in a single year. Go us.
Yeah, not that I know of have I ever. I mean, the only time I can think is maybe when I was like in middle school or so, and I was obsessed with like Babysitter's Club books.
Yeah.
And so would just like grab armfuls from the library.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know if I'd count that as the same thing.
Yeah. The thing about saying something like having a number goal, like to reach a certain number of books, it is pretty arbitrary. Like a good handful of the books that I counted were very short. you give and take with it. It's just reaching a number that's, like I said, it's pretty arbitrary, but you know, whatever. I think like looking back over the year and then seeing like what I remember about what I read and what I thought about the books that I read and the choices that we made and the books that we picked and stuff, I think that's where like the more interesting discussion about this comes from. So like how do you feel overall about what you read this year? Did you learn anything about, you know, your overall kind of book picks and that sort of thing?
One of the big things that I noticed was that the books that I most love mostly were all older books, like books that have been around for 10 plus years. I know we mentioned that in the year in review episode, but this year is probably the first time I've ever read as many new releases. It's just never something that I've done because I've said it a million times, I don't like hardcovers, so I would never buy a hardcover.
Right.
And then oftentimes you can't get them at the library. But with the podcast, of course, we did, you know, and I even have bought quite a few hardcovers.
Uh-huh.
And it's interesting because, I don't know, it's like I can really tell that I need to know that a book is going to have some staying power before I want to read it. I think I've just been kind of disappointed by a lot of new releases that we read this year, I think.
I agree. I've kind of been burned. And I think there is like a definite sense of pressure to read front list items, which is industry talk
for
forthcoming books and recent releases. So,
yeah.
I mean, like, especially since we started doing the podcast, like trying to stay on top of stuff that's coming up and seeing what the industry is putting out and different publishers and sometimes being approached or whatever to cover certain books. And by approached to cover certain books, I mean, like being offered ARCs. We still give our candid opinions on things. And especially like being on Bookstagram, it's really hard not to fall into the trap of like being so obsessed with the front list books, because Bookstagram, for one thing, is a remarkable marketing tool. And I think that's great because I like books and I think we should market books. So that's all good. But it is hard not to kind of like get that fever for like all these new books with their beautiful new covers and the things that people are talking about and being really buzzy about. I think that was the first time, at least since I've worked in the bookstore, that I've really gone this hard on new releases. And I'm not sure it was entirely satisfactory for me.
Yeah, I think one of the problems I have too is when a book first comes out and people love it, there's so many people gushing about it that it makes me kind of have too high of expectations. Whereas when a book has been around a long time, enough people have usually read it to where there's going to be a better mix of reviews and a better mix of like, yes, I liked it for these reasons and I didn't like it for this reason, instead of this is my new favorite author. Everything this person writes is amazing. You have to read this right away, which I think it comes a little bit more with the brand new books.
I agree. And I also think because both of us tried to write reviews on Goodreads for everything we read this year, which I thought would just be like a good practice in reviewing and like trying to, you know, keep up on another little project. And I really enjoyed doing it. I like writing the reviews now, even if sometimes it takes me a little while to do it. You can also find us on Goodreads and follow us. You can find the links on thebookstorepodcast.com. You can follow us or you can add us as friends. I'll add you as a friend just to let you know.
Yes.
I like seeing what people
are
reading.
We add everybody.
Yeah. And I think like in doing that, I learned some new things. I've talked about it a little bit before that like my Goodreads average rating is a little bit under 3.5 stars. And I think so many books in general, like especially new books, a lot of the star ratings are so, so high. It just seems crazy to me. I don't want to like harsh on it the way that anybody likes to review their books, but I do feel like what I do is a little bit different than like a lot of what people seem to be doing, like the trend, whatever the trend is right now, which seems to be like a lot of really, really high praise and like maybe a little softer on the criticism.
Yeah. And I wonder too, if that comes with the territory of like these authors, maybe debut authors, are interacting more with their fans on Twitter, doing a lot of events. And so then people feel compelled to do a 5-star rating, even if they acknowledge that the book has flaws.
Yeah.
They're still going to give it a 5-star rating because they're like, oh, well, this affects their sales and I don't want to cause them to lose sales. And I do understand that. But again, that is why older books are tend to, in my opinion, have a bit more honesty in their reviews because people don't care about offending dead people.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Or people who, like, you know, whatever book it was they wrote 25 years ago, like, they're probably over that by now. So.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, I do get that, too. And I think it's great. In general, like how positive people are. I just don't know if I don't know if that's something that I'm comfortable doing, is being super positive and less critical. Just because I don't know. I mean, I come from an art background and I know the value of criticism. Of course, I never experienced it on the scale of all of the internet having an opinion about me, but you know, it comes with the territory a little bit at least. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I do think, you know, there's obviously a difference between somebody saying this book sucks, the end, and somebody giving thoughtful criticism. And I think maybe, and really I'm just kind of spitballing here, but I wonder if with the internet not understanding any type of nuance or not allowing any nuance,
right,
that it's a bit harder for people to say, no, it's perfectly fine. There's a difference between constructive criticism and just being mean.
Right. That's true.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That being said, if you don't like our podcast, please don't tag us in your tweets.
So. Yes. I know. And
feel free to criticize us to that. Whoever you want. But don't tag us.
Yes.
Just like we wouldn't tag authors who wrote books that we don't really enjoy.
No. In fact, I don't even... I have tweeted about an episode that we do where we don't like the book. And I don't even mention the book or the author's name in the tweet at all.
Yeah.
So that they can't even... If they have a alert out for their name, they don't even have to see that, just to be extra nice.
Yes, that should be standard. And I think that is also like another conversation that's been happening a lot regarding Twitter and the internet lately. It's like anytime someone says something about a thing, someone comes in the mentions and like tags the person that it's about. I'm like, please don't do that.
Yeah, no, I don't need to. I'm sure that I have friends who sometimes complain about me, and that's fine. They need to do that. I don't need to know every single thing they're saying.
Absolutely. since we mentioned that we both kind of enjoyed backlist titles, we have kind of, at least for the month of January, decided on a theme for our reads, which you've maybe been able to pick up because we've been talking about what we'll be reading. And this is going to be a little bit of an attempt to read both books that we've had on our shelves for a long time and older books just in general. So we're working on for January both an unread book project and titles that have been out there for a long time that we just haven't gotten around to reading yet, as a way to, one, break up the fact that we keep buying books even though we own a bunch that we've not read before, and also to take a break from newer releases since we feel like we've been a little bit burned on them lately. Or at least we're burned out on them.
So what we did to determine this list is we both made our own lists of all of our unread books that were by, what did we do? Just women?
Yeah, we chose books by women to narrow it down a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, we had to, yeah. And that were under 400 pages because there's anything you should know about us is we don't read long books.
Well, I'll read a long book. But the pressure of getting a long, long book done in under or like roughly around 2 weeks is insurmountable.
Yes. So then what we did is we compared the lists, and I think we just went and looked at each other's and marked off first all the ones that we had already read, and then we found any that we both had in common, which I don't think we had that many.
Not a ton.
From that, we picked The Transit of Venus by Shirley Hazzard.
She's an Australian author. I think we talked about her a little bit before. So The Transit of Venus was written in 1980, so it's a bit older. The second book was a book that I picked since we didn't, there wasn't a lot of overlap on the books that we owned, I should say. The book I chose was The Wedding by Dorothy West, which is one that I've actually seen pop up on Bookstagram like in the last week, like a couple of times. So I'm excited.
Oh, wow.
It was originally published on January 1st, 1996. Yeah, I was 6 years old at that time. And then the book that you chose was...
I chose The Garden Party and Other Stories by Catherine Mansfield. It was originally published in 1922, and Catherine Mansfield is actually a New Zealand writer.
Oh, is she?
And I didn't even think about it, but we picked two writers from Oceania, which I seriously doubt we've featured many, if any, authors.
We featured The Whale Rider by Whitney Herrera when I came back from New Zealand last year.
So I think that's probably the only one, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, and part of, you know, since we've been thinking about how we want to move forward and like how we're going to be choosing books in the next year, I think for a while we did a pretty good job of like choosing books of different genres and nonfiction and stuff like that. And there was a while there where we did a pretty good job of picking translated fiction stuff too, or at least stuff that came from not the United States necessarily. So I think we'll probably try to move back towards doing some of that too. I don't know. What do you think you would like to be reading in the new year aside from stuff that's...
Yeah, for me, books in translation is a big one. I love reading them. And I think sometimes maybe they need a little bit more work to find than just because they don't get as much buzz oftentimes.
Right.
And I really want to go back to, we had a whole episode talking about it, a Read Around the World challenge.
Right.
And I think we both were doing pretty good on it and then kind of left off.
Yeah.
So I'd like to get back into that for sure.
Yeah. That's the thing is like when you start thinking about like all of these kind of fun like reading challenges and stuff, it's really easy to get like swept up in a ton of them that are really hard to like actually end up finishing any. It's like me with knitting projects. You start seven of them before you finish any of them. So... part of the problem. But yeah, I don't know. I do wonder, like, some of the choices that we've made have been about, like, how we think people will receive, like, the discussions and that sort of thing on the podcast. And I do kind of wonder how our listeners feel about older books versus newer books. So if you have any opinions about it, let us know. We'd like to see, like, how we can kind of accommodate different things for what you're interested in. How do you guys like to balance, like, reading older books and newer books? I think it's an interesting question because, I mean, there's a million books that already exist, and then there's, like, so many that come out every week. So how do you choose? I'm excited for January reading these older books because it's been a while since we've really focused on that sort of project without being future focused so much.
Yes, yes. And I think, too, the authors that we picked, I mean, like you said, Dorothy West has gotten a lot more traction on social media lately, but... And I did, I don't know how you heard of Shirley Hazard, but I did from another podcast, the New Yorker podcast.
Yeah.
But I think that the authors we picked aren't really necessarily what people think of when they think of, like, modern classics or classics at all.
Well, yeah.
So I think it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. And I was surprised by The Wedding being published in 1995, just because I knew Dorothy West was a writer during the Harlem Renaissance. She's a Black woman writer, and she wrote a lot in, like, the mid-century. So, like, one of her books was published in 1948. Yeah, 1948. So I guess I was surprised to see that it came out in 1996, which was actually just 2 years before she passed away. So, oh, I mean, wow. It will be interesting because you think of things like the Harlem Renaissance, and I think maybe this is a reason why she's been popping up more on social media, is because there's a lot of people who are focused on finding authors of color. And if we can find authors of color who wrote historically, too, that's really great.
Yeah. The more perspectives, the better.
I know.
In my opinion. Yeah. I always, that's like one of the things, especially in literary fiction, like all I want to read is something that from somebody who I've never read.
Yeah.
Something like, I'm going to keep saying something in vague words, but that I've never read before. Did you do anything differently like this year? I'll give you my example so you know what I mean.
Sure.
What I did, because I wanted to read more, but I think a lot of people have this problem of feeling like you have to finish a book when you start it.
Yeah.
And this is purely extracurricular books, obviously. I do finish podcast books every time. But I would go to the library and get like 4 books and read maybe 10 or 20 pages. And if I didn't immediately start liking it, I just put it to the side. And I started doing that in probably this fall, winter. And I really like it because it kind of, when I have 4 books to choose from, it relieves me of having to feel like, well, if I don't read this, then I have to go back and pick out something else.
That's a good idea.
And it means that if something doesn't grab me right away, then I don't even try it. And I know that I'm probably missing out on some books that don't get good until halfway in or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. It was kind of nice not to have that sort of pressure to finish a book because I have a problem with that.
Yeah, that is a good idea. One of the things, and actually I'm remembering this now, one of your goals for last year was to listen to more audiobooks.
And I bring that up
because that is basically what I wound up resorting to, was listening to a lot more audiobooks. I didn't find myself with as much time to read, sit down and take the time to read a lot more books. Definitely not as much as I would have liked to. So I did listen to more than usual, and I actually counted them this year, whereas before I felt weird and guilty about it, which was, we've talked about, maybe a little ableist of me. So that's how I fit in some more. But I like your idea. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the time when I do choose a book, like, I'm so focused on that book specifically that I give myself a hard time, like, if I can't get into it. And then I get stuck where I, like, I'll just, like, look at it guiltily instead of reading it when I could be.
Yeah.
Instead of feeling that way about it, I could be reading something else and enjoying it. So it's, like, one of the constant problems.
Yeah. I think it specifically works, and maybe it'll would work for literary fiction too, but I did try to read more fantasy books, and it specifically works really good for that because, again, if you know what you're going to get 20 pages in.
Yeah.
If the writing's a little wonky and not that great, it's better just to ditch it.
Right.
And but for literary fiction, it might not work so well because, I don't know, it's just a different beast entirely.
Yeah, I usually try to give a book about 100 pages, like, if I can.
Yeah,
and if it's really driving me nuts, I'll toss it. But I just haven't had the time. I especially lately have been running our podcast reads like right down to the wire. So I've got one of my goals for the new year is gonna be staying on top of that a little bit better. How about anything you're looking, I think we did just talk about, I was going to say, anything you're looking forward to reading in the new year? And I think you said translated fiction.
Yeah, translated fiction and just more, I mean, more fantasy. It's those tend to be really quick reads for me. And probably the main reason I got to 60 books is because in the latter half of the year, I did read a lot more fantasy. But yeah, that's about it. And same thing, stop, you know, leaving it to the week before recording for our podcast books.
January is going to be very literary fiction heavy. We should pick up a bit more genre fiction because actually everything we've read recently has been pretty literary fiction heavy. I don't know. I'm just excited to start picking stuff out.
I know. It would be fun to read. Like Little Women was pretty fun to read and more fun to talk about a book that old.
Yeah.
Because I think it left me feeling a lot more freer to, I don't know, joke about it, I guess.
Yeah.
Not that we don't in everyone, but this was really like, you know, I can completely just make fun of this because I did sincerely love it, but then also it's so old.
Yeah. One thing that I would like to read too is, I used to manage the young adult and like intermediate children's section, and I would love to read maybe one of the more recent like award-winning juvenile intermediate fiction books, because I used to love those. When one is good, it is just like very, very good. I know that's new and I've been talking about reading older books, but just to spice it up a little bit, we haven't covered that before.
It would be nice to read some, what is it, Newbery
Award winners? Newbery Award winners.
Those are
I always middle grade. Loved reading those. And it's been a good few years since I've read one of the contenders for it.
Yeah, I mean, Number of the Stars was like my favorite book.
Oh my God, yes.
When I was a kid.
Lois Lowry, also. Just in general. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope that wasn't too scattershot, because we were just kind of winging it.
Shh, don't tell them that.
I mean, we thought it out really hard. And if you have any book resolutions that you're planning on sticking to this year, let us know. You can email us at thebookstorepodcast@gmail.com, or you can write us. I just said that. Good Lord. Okay.
You can DM us.
Yeah. You can DM us on Instagram.
Slide into our DMs.
You can slide into the DMs. You can call us at 616-740-1656. Let us know what your book resolutions are, and let us know what you would like to see us read in the new year. We want to know what's out there that you're interested in.
Yeah, and not just like individual books too. Like we said, if you just are like, I would like you to read 70s drug literature.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Really.
Junkie literature. I don't know what it'd be called. Something like that. Or please read a book of poetry.
Yeah.
We won't do that, but you can say, you can tell us too.
Yeah, you definitely don't want us to read a book of poetry because I will not know what I'm talking about. But this could be, maybe that would be fun, is maybe we have our listeners give us a book reading challenge, like a challenge. Like the, you know, like the Book Riot Read Harder one, where it's got like, you know, read a book written in 1970 by a woman or whatever. Yeah. Give us some of those. We'll see if we can fit them in.
And as we said, our next book discussion will be The Transit of Venus by Shirley Hazzard. You can find it at your local bookstore or library and read along with us.
Also, I do keep a schedule of our upcoming reads on the website. You can find that at thebookstorepodcast.com if you're ever wondering what we're up to or what we've got coming up. The Bookstore is a production of Awkwardly Social Media, produced by Becca Yonk and Corinne Keener, with technical and production support by Josh Bourdon.
And John, if you're out there, thanks for listening.
See you next Tuesday.
Bye. Bye.
Excuse me, I just burped.